Hello and welcome to week two of It's All About That Bass. I have to say, I've heard from many of you and you all just rock. You are getting out there despite the challenging weather conditions. You're starting to introduce the lunges and the leg swings and Sam, and you are expertly modifying the plans to suit your own circumstances. So all of this is just so fantastic, and I just want to say how proud I am of all of you. Today, we are going to talk about the strength training. So remember that there's three elements to this program: the run training, the strength training, and the lifestyle training. So we really dug into the run training last week, and hopefully you're getting a handle on that. So it's time to introduce the strength training. Now, I just want to be really clear up front here. I've coached a lot of runners over the years, and I'm trying to recall if I've ever heard a runner say that strength training is their favorite part of the program. So I always like to joke and say that the best strength training program is the one that you will actually do. I've seen runners waste a lot of energy trying to build the perfect plan, but I think we can all agree that we can have the perfect plan on paper, but if we don't do it, then what's the point, right? And so part of my philosophy with runners when I'm coaching them about strength training is just keep it simple. We've got the old KISS method of just good enough is good enough. So the program doesn't actually have to be perfect. And we can go a long, long way with some really basic exercises and some simple movement patterns. And I like to say that the basics will never fail you. There are virtually endless amounts of exercises that you could do in strength training, but I think that's part of the overwhelm sometimes, is that we think, holy, there's so many exercises, which one's quote right for me? And then we get sort of analysis paralysis and never get started. And so what I'm about to introduce to you today is my attempt at making strength training really simple so that we will actually do it. But before we go any further, it's probably worth mentioning why we should strength train as runners. So I think the big one that most of us probably know on some level is injury prevention. And this is true for all runners, whether you're in high school or whether you're 85 years old and you're running. I think strength training is super important for injury prevention. But I would argue that it becomes even more important when we get to our master's year. So in road running and distance running, masters are defined as age 40 and above. And so I know a lot of people in this program fall in that category. But even if you don't, I would argue that developing a solid strength training program is in your best interest even when you're younger. The second reason to consider implementing strength training is just for improving as a runner. Basically, when you lift weights or strength train in any way, what you're doing is you're teaching your body to recruit type 2 or fast twitch muscle fibers. So you've probably heard a lot about slow twitch and fast twitch muscle fibers, and it's a little bit beyond the scope of this course to go into all of that physiology. But essentially, as runners, we're really dependent on our slow twitch or type 1 muscle fibers, especially the longer you go. When you get into marathons and ultra marathons, especially, we're relying almost predominantly on our slow twitch fibers for that race. But if we've practiced strength training, what we're doing is we're helping our body be able to recruit those harder to recruit muscle fibers, which are the type 2 or the fast twitch. And there's different categories and it's not really important, but when you lift a heavy weight or you do a plyometric exercise, you're teaching your body to recruit those harder to recruit muscle fibers. So then when your slow twitch or type 1 fibers tire out towards the end of a race, you may be able to call on those faster twitch muscle fibers that you've, you know, worked in training and be able to kick hard at the end of a race. So what that equals, I know that's a lot of words and explanation, but basically it allows you to do better and perform better as a runner. And I don't know about you, but I haven't met a single runner yet, no matter what their pace is, that wouldn't love to just be a little bit faster. And so there's another good plug for strength training. So if you're doing the lunge matrix and leg swings, which is the dynamic warm-up that I introduced you to last week, and you're trying the body weight, strength, and mobility workouts, the SAM routines, that's a really nice way to introduce yourself to strength training. Let's face it, the lunges, the planks, and the leg lifts, and all of the stuff that you do in SAM is strength training. And so I really like this method of kind of sandwiching the runs in between this dynamic warm-up and the strength and mobility. It's an easy way to introduce people to strength training, and it's super, super effective. There are loads and loads of other body weight strength training options in addition to the SAM routines. I know Jason Fitzgerald, the host of the Strength Running podcast, has a lot of great routines on his site. Dwayne Scotty has some on his site, and even Jay Johnson, who has the SAM routines, he has some other ones that I really like. One of them's called Core X. So I will link to all of those in the show notes of this recording. For many of you, these body weight routines will be enough, especially when you consider that SAM has 5 levels. So usually people stay on a level for 2 to 3 weeks before it becomes a little bit too easy and they have to progress to the next level. So that takes quite a bit to progress all the way up to level 5. But other people may already be used to lifting weights. And so I wanted to talk about how best to incorporate weights into your routine. But going back to the principles of strength training, we always, always, always want to start by having high movement competency with just your body weight, meaning that you move very well unloaded. So let's say, for example, we're doing a squat. You can do a really good squat with really good form with just your body weight. And then the progression from there would be to add a light weight or a light external load. And then when that becomes too easy, a heavier weight. And then another way to progress is by going from 2 legs. So you're doing the squat on 2 legs and then trying to do it on the 1 leg. And so we're always kind of following that progression and getting more and more specific to the demands of the sport. And if you think about running, we are always on 1 leg, right? That's the definition of running. It's basically a series of coordinated hops from 1 foot to the other. And there really isn't any time where we're on 2 legs. And so doesn't it make sense that we would want to progress a squat from 2 legs to 1 leg when we get good at it? And so that's true of many of the exercises, the lower body exercises, obviously, in this program, is that we want to always be moving towards lifting heavier weights and or being able to perform them well on a single leg. If you're not sure whether you're performing these exercises right, it might be a really worthwhile investment to have a personal trainer or a physiotherapist or somebody qualified in this arena to check your form and just make sure that, you know, your form is excellent while you're doing the squats and the lunges and the deadlifts, especially. Sometimes a deadlift can be a difficult exercise for people to get the hang of at first. Okay, with all of that covered, now let's get really, really practical. So what I've done on our page is I have developed a little chart. And so again, the way that my brain thinks is I'm a very visual learner. So after working with so many people that were tripped up over the strength training, I developed this thing because I kept explaining to them, like, don't make it complicated. Just keep it really, really simple. There's basically 5 categories of movements. So they are, number 1, a squat or a lunge. Number 2, a hinging movement. Number 3, a pushing movement. Number 4, a pulling movement. And number 5, rotary stability. So think of those 5 columns, and then under each column, I have examples of types of exercises that you could do. So we've got squat, lunge, hinge, push, pull, and rotary stability. And so again, the way I teach people to develop a comprehensive strength training plan is to choose 1 exercise from every column. Select a weight that allows you to lift with good form for about 5 to 8 repetitions. Repeat for 2 to 3 sets and you're done. So the whole thing should take about 30 minutes, maybe 45 for more experienced lifters who are doing maybe the higher number of sets. But it's very, very quick. We don't need to do a lot more than that as runners. So 2 to 3 times a week, 2 to 3 sets of 5 to 8 repetitions. And as I talked about before, we progress things by adding weights and or performing each exercise on a single leg where relevant, all the while remembering to keep really, really good form. Now, the next question people always ask me is, how much weight? Like, how do I select the weight? And I heard a really great explanation of this one time when I was listening to a podcast. So maybe I'll actually link that up in the show notes as well. But basically, the woman was saying that you want to choose to have 1 to 4 reps in reserve, meaning that you do your, say you're going to lift 8 times. So you lift 1, 2, 3, 4. When you get to 8, you would be able to still do 1 to 4 more reps with really good form before you would lose it, before you would have to start to compromise something. You wouldn't be able to go down as far, or you wouldn't be able to lift it back up or something like that. And so she was saying that you want to choose a weight, like it's pretty heavy, right? Because you'd only be able to lift it 1 to 4 more times before you would start to be compromised in your form. And I just thought that that was a really nice way to think of it. And so maybe you're thinking, okay, how do I know if I should be on the 1 side of the range or the 4 side? I would say if you're newer to weightlifting, be more on the 4 side. So keeping 4 reps in reserve. But if you're a little bit more experienced, you can go down to kind of the 1 or 2 reps in reserve. I would say one of the biggest mistakes that I see runners make when it comes to strength training is bringing their endurance mindset to their strength exercises. So we don't need to be lifting a light weight for 20 or 30 reps. You know, we don't need to be getting our heart rate up. We already do enough of that with our running that it's better to kind of switch the mentality and really lift something heavy for a short time and then bring our endurance mindset to the running where we're doing kind of, if you want to think about it this way, like a lower weight and higher reps through the running, whereas the strength training is higher weight and lower reps. So take a look at the graphic on our page for those 5 columns of movements, and I have those examples under every column. If there's an exercise that you're unfamiliar with, so just I'll give you an example here in the squat lunge category. So I talked about goblet squats and sumo squats and split squats. Like if you don't know what that is, just Google those. Like they're very common exercises, and if you can't find what you're looking for on the Google machine, then certainly reach out to me over email and I can help you with that. But yeah, they're very basic, common exercises that many of you may have heard of. But I just want to mention here that there are endless ways to modify these exercises. That's why I like them so much, is that, you know, you can use a Swiss ball or a mini band and sort of change up that exercise and give it a little bit more variety so it doesn't always feel like you're doing the exact same thing. Take, for example, the bridge. So a bridge is an exercise that many of you may have seen. It's under the hinging category. And basically in the bridge, you're laying flat on your back. Your feet are flat on the floor, so your knees are bent up about 90 degrees, and you're just lifting your hips up in the air. You could do this on 2 legs, which is often how we introduce this movement to people. You could do it on 1 leg. You could do it with sliders under your feet to give yourself a little bit more instability and make it a little bit harder. You could do it with a Swiss ball under your feet. You could lift up with the Swiss ball under your feet and then extend your knees out and bend them back up underneath of you to make it harder. You could slowly bend and straighten your legs while your feet are on a foam roller. So can you see that with a little bit of creativity, you can actually make a lot of these exercises seem, you know, spicy and interesting and new, even though fundamentally they're the exact same exercise. The other thing I should mention here is equipment. A lot of people ask, do I need to go out and buy a bunch of stuff? Doesn't that seem expensive? What I will say is you can get really creative with heavy things that are just lying around your house, like jugs of milk or a huge bag of dog food or, you know, something heavy that you have lying around in your garage. There's also a lot of pretty inexpensive equipment that athletes use in the strength training department. I've mentioned a few of them already, like mini bands, resistance bands, Swiss balls, sliders, kettlebells, medicine balls. Some people fix a chin-up bar to their door frame. You may have seen that before. We actually made our own chin-up bar that is in our basement in our furnace room. So there's a lot of ways that you can get creative with equipment on a budget. There's also, you know, more expensive options, which would include belonging to a gym or, you know, having a squat rack or a hex bar or dumbbells of varying weights, lots of different kettlebells. And again, these can get pretty expensive. And honestly, they're not entirely necessary unless, you know, you love weightlifting and you've already invested in these things. I would say for the purposes of this program, there's absolutely no need to go out and spend a lot of money on any of this stuff. If you're already doing a strength training program that kind of meets all of the guidelines that I've been talking about, stick with it. Like, there's no need to change it to the exercises that I'm recommending here if you already kind of have a system in place that's working for you. Another thing people ask me is when, like which days of the week should I do this? So I get it. I'm supposed to lift weights, you know, twice a week or three times a week, but is it better to do that on the days that I'm running, or is it bad to do it on the day of my long run, or when exactly should these strength sessions happen? Which is a great question. So there's kind of some different schools of thought on this. If we're thinking about the principle of hard, easy, like make the hard days hard so the easy days can be easy, some people like to put their strength training on days where their running is a little bit harder. So in base building, the good thing is that we aren't really doing a lot of hard running, but some people will put it on the day of their long run. So they may run long in the morning on a Saturday, for example, and then they'll come home, they'll eat, take a few hours in between, and then hit the strength training later that evening. We always want to do the strength training after our running, because as runners, the run is the most important thing, and then we're supplementing with the strength training. So it's better to do the strength training after the run. On that note, some of you in the 4-day, 5-day, 6-day programs, what you'll notice is that there's a midweek run that's a little bit longer than the other ones. And I'm kind of pegging that as going to be the day that I'm going to put some harder running into the plan after the base building or later in the base building phase. And so again, if we're thinking about keeping the hard days hard, that is eventually going to become a hard day. So if we're following this hard, easy principle, that might be a second day of the week in addition to the long run that you might think about putting your strength training. Other people feel like those days are already really hard and I just never actually get around to the strength training on those days. And so back to, you know, the perfect strength training program is the one that you'll do. Find the 2 or 3 days of the week that you can commit to the strength training and make those your days. But I would encourage you to do it after the run if possible. And I would also encourage you not to put it on a recovery day. If you, especially if you're a 6-day a week person and you have 1 day of the week that's off, I wouldn't load that up with strength training. I would protect that as a true off day. So I would try to put it on one of the days, at least in the week that you're running. The final thing I'll say on the topic of strength training is don't be afraid to microdose. So sometimes when I know, oh, I've got a really busy day, I know I'm not going to be able to even fit in like half an hour of dedicated strength training, what I'll do is I will microdose throughout the day. Because remember, doing something is usually better than doing nothing. I think we can all agree on that. And so what I'll do in those cases is find ways to fold mini doses of strength training into what I'm already doing that day. So maybe I do some air squats while the kettle is boiling, or I, you know, do planks while I'm checking my email or social media. I'll do calf raises while I'm brushing my teeth. Things like that, just looking for those creative ways to fit it in to that idle time that happens in all of our days, even when we are super busy. So don't be afraid to lean on the microdosing when time is not on your side. And on that note, something that my husband and I have found really helpful too, and this is a little bit embarrassing, but if you come over to our house, you'll see mats and foam rollers and weights and massage sticks and mini bands strewn all over the place at our house, particularly in our main living space and in our bedroom. And that's kind of just a visual reminder to us of like, yeah, this is important to us. We said that this is important to us. So here's the no excuse, just get down on the floor and do it, you know, kind of thing. So, you know, that might be just another thing that you think about is how can I make this really convenient to do? And having the equipment there in a very convenient and obvious spot is one way to do that. Finally, I have interviewed several experts in the strength training department on my podcast. A couple of them come to mind as really good ones. I interviewed physical therapist Dr. Dwayne Scotty a couple of times, actually. So I'll include his in the show notes because both of his episodes were excellent and he talked about strength training a lot. And Lindsay Romano, who is a strength coach and running coach out of Alberta. I had a great conversation with her all about strength training. So I'll link those up in the show notes and you can check those out at your leisure. All right, we covered a lot again. Hopefully that all makes sense for you. Hopefully you can run with this information. You can keep it simple. If you have any questions, as always, don't be afraid to reach out to me. And happy running and happy strength training. Mm-hmm.